Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Mayshawn, and this is The Lyrical. The artist begins by referencing the publication Word Up, which was a very popular magazine in the 1980s. It predominantly covered hip-hop, rap, and R&B. His references to Salt and Peppa and Heavy D in the Limo offers insight into ultimately what the artist was trying to aspire to. Salt and Peppa and Heavy D were huge brands and big-time celebrities in the early 1990s in the world of hip-hop and R&B. He outlines how he had posters or some shit, or maybe just cut out pictures from the magazines he used to read. And he talks about the rap attacks that he would attend on Saturdays, maybe rap battles on the corner of his street. His reference to Mr. Magic and Marley Marl is a salute to a DJ, Mr. Magic, a.k.a. John Rivas, a New York City DJ who ran the first exclusive rap radio show on a major station. Him and Marley Marl, his partner, helped bring early hip-hop to the mainstream. He'd put his demo on the cassette tape and play it for record execs, and they would listen to the whole fucking thing until the tape ended and the machine popped open. Acknowledging that he smoked a little bit and he'd sip on that private stock malt liquor, he also references how he used to dress and the style that he felt during that time. The red and black lumberjack shirt with a hat to match was a very popular look in the early 1990s. The Rappin' Duke was a hip-hop novelty song from the 1970s. It followed the story of a rapping John Wayne. The refrain of that song is Daha, Daha. His ability to rap has made him famous, and that he's just made it, and that he has officially arrived on the scene. And now he's talking about what he deserves, getting paid. He knows that he's going to become rich. He talks about how popular he's become and makes a reference to the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center in New York City. He was born into a bad situation with very little reason to think he'd make it out. He used to eat sardines for dinner. Not much. Now he feasts on fucking glorious meals and the finest foods. He gives a shout out to some of his contemporaries in the rap game in the early 90s. Ron G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funkmaster Flex, Lovebug, and Starsky were all big names during that era on the hip-hop scene. Lovebug Starsky, aka Kevin Smith, was widely considered the father of the term hip-hop. It is apparent that these men encouraged him to be his best because they thought that one day he'd do big things. Here, he acknowledges their vote of confidence. He says, just because I've made it huge, I'm still the same old Biggie from the block that you knew back in the day. You'll always be welcome in my house. Call me. My head's not too big, though. I have the same number. I'm still going to be around in the same neighborhood I grew up in. I'm still the guy you knew before I made it huge. The artist then forgives all of his haters and reminds you that if you didn't believe in how successful he was going to be, well, wake the fuck up, because I'm here and I'm big time. Back in the day, he was just a thug that would commit crimes. But now, since he's exploded onto the rap scene, he gets asked to appear on high-profile television shows like The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, hosted by Robin Leach. Skunk is a crossbreed of cannabis sativa and cannabis indica. Some high-end shit. He then references his drink of choice. Maybe he means when he drinks Moe and Alizé, he gets an edge and he's an angry drunk. He also could mean when he drinks that shit, he has to use the restroom to urinate, especially after he breaks the fucking seal. The artist is now basking in the glory of his reality and how women who used to shun him, maybe because he was a little larger, are now writing him love letters and yearning for his attention. It's a subtle way of him saying, they want my fucking dick. But he wants to reiterate that he came from humble beginnings and that he does what he does for the love of the game and not to become rich and famous. And it blows him away when he thinks back to when he was packing gats, which means when he was packing heat, carrying a gun, dealing drugs, living the gangsta life. Women everywhere want him. All over the country. Everywhere he goes, he's desired. He has condos and properties all over the boroughs of New York. Indo, or marijuana, for weeks means he's got so much weed and he buys so much weed without even thinking of it. He's stocked and supplied for the foreseeable future. He fucking sells out every concert that he puts on because he's that huge. Around the the time this album was released, the artist had a daughter, Tiana. And when she was just a mere few months old, he would buy expensive high-end jewelry and give it to his little girl to wear. Wherever he goes is the man of the hour, and he wants you to know that. And he also wants to emphasize that not all black kids that drop out of high school are destined for failure. Although he dropped out, he was extremely focused and driven to achieve his goals. Don't assume shit, motherfucker. And if you didn't know that yet, now you do. Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis in the early to mid-90s were new age video game consoles with graphics and gameplay better than anything that had ever been released to that point. Continuing to boast his rags to riches story, he brags about the big screen TVs he possesses, which was no small feat back in the mid-90s given how fucking huge and boxy TVs were. Then he outlines another thing, because you know what else this artist does? Makes as many long distance calls or calls 1-800-COLLECT as often as he wants on his fucking Zach Morris huge cell phone. Why? He's got so much fucking money he has an accountant on call. Doesn't even manage it himself. He gives a nod to his boys who have been by his side since their days living in the projects of Brooklyn. Now, they're just kicking it in some upscale place. Maybe the Hamptons or Fairfield, Connecticut or some shit. The artist then shouts out his mom and how she's now living the high life. No more shitty car. She's now driving a high-end Hyundai. An Acura, and has a mink coat on her back that she wears. The Source was a monthly magazine that originated in the late 80s and was big in the early to mid 90s. The artist unearths some painful memories, reminiscing about how back when it was Christmas as a kid, sometimes he fucking didn't have heat in his apartment, and they didn't have enough money to put presents under the tree. Oftentimes, Christmas would essentially be non-existent, and the same could be said for birthdays. There was no need to celebrate, opposed to now, when they have everything they could ever want or need. And when they're just fucking thirsty, they break out some expensive champagne. Finally, the artist vocalizes the intense internal pride that he feels at his accomplishments and what he's made his life into. And he wants anybody that hated him and doubted him to know one more time that he does not hold a grudge and that it's all good, but just make sure you acknowledge his greatness. Don't fucking let people tell you you can't achieve your dreams. Go for it, you bitch. The Junior Mafia was a hip-hop group. The group included, among others, Lil' Kim. Unfortunately, this group became defunct in 1997 after the death of one of the greatest artists in the history of rap. This track contains a sample of M-Tune's 1983 song, Juicy Fruit. However, it was directly sampled from the song's fruity instrumental mix and has an alternative chorus sung by Bad Boy Records cohorts. Producer Pete Rock alleges that Puffy, aka P. Diddy, aka Sean Combs, stole the idea for the original song's beat after hearing it at Rock's house. Rock said for some time he harbored some ill will and ultimately just wanted proper credit for the birth of this track. The artists involved didn't really give a shit. Today's lyrical is none other than Biggie Smalls' 1994 mega hit, Juicy. I'm Dr. Mayshawn, and this is Lyrical.